The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the Cowboys and Sean Payton. Is this going to happen? We'll tell you why the D in Big D stands for definitely. Meanwhile, Rodgers sets a timetable. You'll hear from him when we will hear from him on his next team. And then Mr. Mahomes off the game of a lifetime. Is he a lock to run it back on Super Sunday? Those are the questions. We've got the answers as we get up with you starting right now. The traditional Wednesday presentation. We've got Kimberly Martin ready to go. We got Dominique Foxworth ready to go. Tim Hasselbeck is making quarterback reads all morning long as we're down to the NFL's Final Four. We will certainly work our way to them, but we begin with Sean Payton's sudden resignation in New Orleans. What an era it was when he got to the Big Easy in 2006. The Saints had just one playoff win in franchise history. In his fourth season, he led them to a Super Bowl championship. His tenure marred by Bounty Gate, for which he was suspended for the 2012 season. Saints went 7-9 that year, missed the playoffs, and there was all kinds of playoff heartbreak, including, of course, over the course of time, the Minneapolis Miracle, when the Saints' 2017 season ended on a Stephon Diggs walk-off TD after the Saints led by one. So many memories, so many moments. Payton addressed the media yesterday.
And I felt like it was time. You know, I kind of knew maybe heading into training camp. I still have a vision for doing things in football. And I'll be honest with you, that might be coaching again at some point. I don't think it's this year. I think maybe in the future, but that's not where my heart is right now.
Perhaps not, but it's definitely where our head is right now. And Todd Archer feels the same way. Todd covers the Cowboys for us. And I will remind you of the history between Sean Payton and Jerry Jones. And Todd Archer writes, if Jerry is going to be fundamentally fair to Mike McCarthy, he needs to make a trade for Payton, meaning the coach, since the Saints still own his rights, or come out and just say McCarthy is his coach. That won't end speculation, of course. Once the season starts, McCarthy will be looking over his shoulder the entire time. Every loss will be dissected through the prism of Payton. Dak Prescott's development will be evaluated through the Payton prism. Everything in 2022 will be WWSPD. What would Sean Payton do? Fascinating. Kmart, what do we think?
I think Todd's right. Regardless of the Sean Payton of it all, Mike McCarthy was going to enter this season looking over his shoulder. If Jerry said, he's our coach, he's my guy, every week, wouldn't we question it anyway, depending on how this team does? And that was the problem of these two seasons being, you know, the first year not being good, this season being a complete disappointment. So, yeah, regardless of Sean Payton, that was the issue. But when I talked to people yesterday about Sean Payton and the Cowboys, I was immediately told, oh, he's definitely going to end up in Dallas. League people believe he will definitely end up in Dallas. It's a matter of when, not if.
Wow. Okay, that's even better than I was hoping for. Dominique, she says it's a matter of when, not if, Sean Payton winds up the coach of the Cowboys.
Well, clearly I'm not a league person because I said this yesterday. once it was out there, after Jerry Jones' quotes on Friday and then the news, kind of the rumors about Payton were out there, like it seemed completely obvious to me because if you guys don't know, Jerry Jones is not new to the media. Like he doesn't put that stuff out there and then is surprised by the reaction that it gets. Like I believe that he has a plan, he has an idea, and the only thing that made me step back a little bit is Sean Payton suggesting that maybe he'll take a year off. Other than that, like my full expectation was at some point, maybe just before the Super Bowl, they're going to move on from Mike McCarthy. Then they're going to do like a Zoom interview with the black coach. And then they're going to hire Sean Payton the next day. Like that was my full expectation.
Let's be honest.
I mean, we keep it real on Get Up in the Morning.
On Wednesdays, we keep it real.
That's two votes for Sean Payton to Dallas. Do we have a clean sweep? Tim Hasselbeck, what do you think of this?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're connecting a dot because he's been there in the past. But
I don't see it happen based on his comments about taking a year off. I think those could actually be real. And then the other aspect of it is, I don't think Dallas is moving on from Mike McCarthy right now. I don't think they are. He's still under contract. Sean Payton's still under contract. I just don't think it works that way where it's like, oh, hey, this guy's available. Let's just go grab him because. And truthfully, I don't feel like, you know, Jerry Jones has ever really operated like that with his head coach. You're like think back to the patience he had with Jason Garrett. Like, I just don't think that's how it's going to go with Mike McCarthy. I don't think it's going to end that quickly for him. I know that people have been very critical of him, and I don't think there's any doubt that he's going to be under a ton of pressure. Granted, you asked me coming into the season who was under the most pressure in Dallas. I said it was Mike McCarthy. That's always going to be the case, but I don't think that means they're going to replace him with Sean Payton, especially because I'm not sure Sean Payton's going to coach this year.
Well, that's okay. So there's the, because you just said it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. The when could easily be right. you hit pause, mm-hmm. Sean goes and does TV mm-hmm. for a year, whatever it is he wants to do, recharges the batteries, and McCarthy coaches the team. We see what happens. He's looking over his shoulder the whole time, the way Todd Archer wrote. And then a year from now, we pick this conversation up. That would coincide, if that's the right word, with the things you're hearing.
Yeah, with what people think in the league, because of how Jerry has not orchestrated like that in the past.
Right.
But because of that, he understands the window is closing rapidly.
But that's the thing. We sometimes have an image of Jerry Jones as though he's like George Steinbrenner because of the high profile and all that kind of stuff. But Steinbrenner used to shuffle managers in and out all the time. Yep. Jerry has not done that. That is correct. But guys like Sean Payton don't come available all the time either, Dominique. This is a unique situation.
That's my point. I think it's a clear upgrade. Which is hard to find, especially in coaches, because it's so hard to measure their impact. It's hard to know when you have a clear upgrade opportunity. He has it right now, and I do think it will be out of character for Jerry to do it, but I don't think it will be outrageous. Again, it's because of what he said on Friday. Like I said, he's not a fool. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not saying this stuff and then surprised by the reaction. I'm confused at why he would be doing anything that would heighten the pressure or make his coach feel less certain, because if you remember, one of the big issues with their team in the playoffs was discipline. Right. By putting out what he said on Friday, you don't do anything but undercut your coach's credibility even more, which makes it even harder for him to, like, institute whatever disciplinary measures he needs to eliminate the penalties and eliminate those type of mistakes.
All right. We'll do more on this as we go. I think it is a fascinating story, and clearly there are still twists and turns waiting to be made. In the meantime, let's get to the other big brewing change here. After being one and done in the playoffs, the speculation has started about Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers and his future with the team. He sat down as usual with Pat McAfee yesterday. He had a lot to say. Give a listen.
One thing I would not do, 100% would not do, is retire and then, you know, come back a year later. I'm at the place relationally with the Packers, you know, in a really good place, especially with Brian. It would be a simple conversation and not going to be any weird standoff. I've had good conversations throughout the year, and it won't be a long, drawn-out process. And, you know, one decision that will be upcoming will be obviously Devontae, his future with the team. There still is this thing called the franchise tag. Don't think 17 wants the franchise. Like, no player ever wants. I think that should be enough time to make a decision by then. I don't want to put myself on a specific date, but I do want to be sensitive to Devontae and many other guys who have decisions to make on their own futures. And to drag it out past free agency would be disrespectful to the organization and to those guys, and that 100% will not happen.
All right, so let's just put some dates to these things. The deadline to designate a franchise or transition player is March 8th. Free agency begins 8 days after that. The draft is the 28th of April. Thursday the 28th is the first night of the draft. That's when all this began a year ago. Those are all important dates to keep in mind. We'll see. Kmart, as you hear him talk, as you watch what transpired over the weekend, you and I have not had a chance to talk this week.
The psychology of Aaron Rodgers this week.
One last time. What do you think?
You know, going into the season, it did feel like Aaron had one foot out the door. Everybody expected this would be his last year. The last dance picture that he posts on Instagram, mm-hmm. assuming him and Devontae would ride off into the sunset after winning a Super Bowl. That clearly didn't happen. The way they lost makes me feel like the door is now like slammed shut almost. And you see it here with that last dance yeah, it just, you just felt like everything, all the chips were in the middle of the table, and this is how he wanted to end it with Devontae. That didn't happen. The fact that he's saying, you know, I won't have any, it's going to be a simple conversation, no weird standoff, like that, like, whoa! Like, that to me,
everything
just,
I did last year, like, I'm not doing it again.
Like, it just, he doesn't give the vibe of somebody, talking about Devontae's situation, he's talked about how so many contracts are up and how he doesn't want to be part of a rebuild. Like, that doesn't sound like a guy who's malleable or amenable to, hey, let's give it one more run.
So to underline the first thing you said, one foot was already at the door, now it's slammed shut?
It seems like it. That's, when you listen to him, it sounds like that.
Yeah, I mean, if he's concerned about the roster, it's not going to get any better than it's been for the last couple years. If he's trying to win a championship, it's only going to get harder. It doesn't mean he can't do it, but the interesting thing to me that he brought up with the Devontae piece, so he, it kind of feels like he's insinuating that he does not want to see his friend get franchise tagged, but I think that might be part of the equation in order to keep this roster together. So they want, if Devontae wants to move on to somewhere else, I would assume that it's, that means a full rebuild. So then if Aaron Rodgers decides, I'm out, then he's also, the expectations that the Packers will just let the best receiver football walk away and enter full rebuild mode. So it's kind of all the chips are on his side of the table, even though he lost that big game.
So Tim Hasselbeck, for as long as we've been talking about this, which is a very long time, you have been one of the few on the side of he should stay there. It's the best place for him and all that. Now that we have seen, A, the very disappointing way that the season comes to an end, and B, we really digest all of the franchise challenges that will exist salary cap-wise, etc. What is your perspective on whether or not Rodgers will stay and should stay?
Well, I still would maintain that it's the best chance for him to accomplish what he wants to accomplish, which is win another Super Bowl. I do think it's really tied to Devontae Adams' situation. He's already been on record as saying that he's the best player that he's played with, and obviously they have a close friendship. And so I think Devontae's situation will have an impact in terms of what he decides to do. And that means long-term deal and franchise tag. Look, if Devontae is franchised, it means it's a one-year deal, where he needs to have a good season. You know, I could see Aaron playing in that situation. So, look, I think the other thing that we need to remember, too, is Aaron Rodgers is still under contract with the Green Bay Packers. And so while he has a ton of power and leverage in this situation because of the type of player that he is, you know, it's not just solely up to him. And that's never been the case. That's why I've always maintained that he would end up back in Green Bay. Somebody please tell me what the trade value is for a guy that has dominated the league the way he has over the last 4 years. If Matthew Stafford was traded for what he was traded for, who knows what, like, and who knows if anyone has enough firepower to put a trade together to actually get Aaron Rodgers. Like, people need to always remember that. He's under contract. Yes, high cap number, but it's not just Aaron's decision.
That's right. And certainly the Packers, at minimum, will be in control of, have some control over where he goes if he forces their hand. And if they decide they're not trading him no matter what, it gets more complicated. Mike Tannenbaum, sitting in that chair yesterday, said, I would call up Green Bay and I'd offer 3 first-round picks. Does that get it done? Is 3 first-round picks enough for Aaron Rodgers?
I think then Aaron Rodgers has to make it messy. All the things that he said he wasn't going to do is he has to say, I'm not coming to play.
Right.
Because 3 first-round picks is not worth giving up Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
3 first-round picks or nothing? Yes, you have to make that trade. So if Aaron wants to force his hand and he recognizes this roster, if they franchise Devontae, that makes it even harder because then all the cap hit comes in one season, makes it even harder to bring back any other player. So it's a complex situation, and I assume that the reason why they remade the contract was in part because they had planned on this being the last dance. Mm-hmm. All of them, frankly.
I only have one request, and that is, Aaron, whatever else happens this offseason, please keep going on McAfee once a week. We need it. We need the updates. We need to hear from you. So hopefully that'll continue to happen. We'll see. This is another one of these stories that's going to continue to develop. And then so is this. You will hear the one word Tom Brady used that raises the very real possibility he's going to retire. It certainly got Rob Gronkowski's attention. You'll hear it. Plus, Mr. Mahomes off the game of a lifetime. Is he a lock to run it back on Super Sunday? We're talking about that and more. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is brought to you by the Ice Age Adventures of Buck Wild. The pack is back in an all-new movie event streaming this Friday only on Disney+. Hey, we had a good one across the river last night. Nets, Lakers, and the return of Anthony Davis. Missed the last 17 games with a knee injury, and he would make his presence felt immediately. This is the first possession of the game. That's a lob, and that's a slam. LeBron to AD, who got it going early, and he looked comfortable on both ends of the floor. Later in the first quarter, this is James Harden, and it's AD saying, get that out of there. AD would play 25 minutes, 8 points, and 4 blocks. It would lead to Russell on the other side with the lay-in. Under 10 seconds to play now in the first. Lakers up by 6. Harden up, no good. LeBron coming the other way. Watch the clock. 3 seconds, 2 seconds, 1 second. He beats the buzzer. Lakers lead it by 8 after 1, and they would continue to lead. Third quarter, the lead is still 8. LeBron stepping into a 3. He had 33. The Lakers up double digits. They wouldn't look back, but there was some fun to be had. Dominique, take a look. 7 minutes to play. Still a ball game. LeBron's got the defense, and here he goes.
Oh, he's getting younger. Ah,
that's 37-year-old man in his 19th season. But wait, there's more. This is the next possession in the game.
Instant replay. Bang.
LeBron throws it down. Michael Strahan among those in attendance, taking it in and enjoying the action. Lakers get the win. Afterward, James Harden, frustrated?
I don't know about any reports. Of course, I'm frustrated because, you know, we're not healthy. You know, it's a lot of inconsistency for whatever reason, injuries, COVID, whatever you want to call it. But it's frustrating. I think everybody in this organization is frustrated because we are better than what our record is, and we should be, you know, on the way up. So that's all it is. I don't know about reports. If you didn't hear from me, like I don't talk to nobody. I have an agent. Like, you know, if you don't hear from me, then it's reports. So, I'm frustrated because I want to win, and I'm a competitor. It's pretty simple.
Okay, trade deadline's in 2 weeks. We'll see. Nets have been struggling, no question. You see the numbers up there. Same number of losses over the last 15 games that they had in their first 32. Obviously, much of that has been without Kevin Durant. They're no good at home. Kyrie doesn't play home games. You know the deal. Stephen A. Smith with his thoughts in our next hour here on Get Up. Meanwhile, to the NFL's Final Four, a little either or. Kimberly Martin, who's going to have the bigger day Sunday, Ja'Marr Chase or Tyreek Hill?
Tyreek Hill, Greeny. Anytime you can throw up the deuces to some guy who's in front of you and still outrun them, it's Tyreek Hill. When you talk to defensive coordinators, and even the Bengals defensive coordinator said they have unique speed, and Tyreek is one of the fastest dudes on the planet. You can't really game plan for that. You can't.
Let's talk about another pair of receivers. NFC side, Neek. Deebo Samuel, Cooper Kupp. Who you got?
It's not fair to call him a pair of receivers because Deebo is more than a receiver. I'll go with Deebo Samuel. I think Cooper Kupp is probably the best receiver in football this year, but like I said, Deebo is more than just a receiver. He's going to get open. He can go high point the ball like this, but what he does that makes them so dangerous, the 49ers so dangerous, is when he gets the ball in his hands, either in the backfield or out in the open field. downfield. He punishes the defense. So I got to go Debo over Cup.
They've had three straight elimination games. He has 333 yards from scrimmage in those three. Tim, the quarterbacks, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes. Who's going to have the bigger game?
Well, I want to take a second to say that it's not even crazy that you're asking that question, which says a lot about Joe Burrow, but I'm taking Patrick Mahomes in this situation. Listen, well, obviously, what he's done throughout his career, what he did last week, it's hard to get that out of your mind. When they get the ball back with 13 seconds and are able to do what they did, and honestly, against a really good defense. So Patrick Mahomes, just I've seen it time and time again already.
So let's talk about just how much everyone is falling in love with Kansas City. When the playoffs began, KC was the second favorite to win it all at plus 475. With Green Bay out and all the other stuff that's happened there now, just plus 130. So they're the favorites. The Rams are next, San Francisco, and then Cincinnati on down the line. And so the question at this moment feels like Chiefs or the field to win the Super Bowl, Dominique.
Yeah, I got to go Chiefs. Maybe I'm being prisoner of the moment, but this has been a long moment, a three-year moment of Patrick Mahomes, and I can't move off of that, especially what we saw last week. So I'm taking the Chiefs. I think the Rams have the defensive line to give them hell, but I'm going Chiefs over anybody at this point.
Tim Hasselbeck, Chiefs of the field, we got
Chiefs. Look, I think the Chiefs have the best quarterback still playing. I think the Chiefs have the best head coach still coaching. And so I think you start to stack those things together. There's a lot to like about Kansas City. And oh, by the way, team's got plenty of experience in these moments, which I do think matters.
And we're not going to ask Kimberly to make a pick because she's covering the AFC game this weekend, so it wouldn't be appropriate. But I will, and I will say I will take the field because I have seen one thing after another I couldn't believe happen in these in these playoffs. So I'm going to bet that that's going to happen again. Do I think Kansas City is the best team? Sure. If I had to pick one, I would take them. But if you're giving me three other choices, who the heck knows? I didn't think there was any way in the world San Francisco would go in there and beat Green Bay, and I still can't believe they did. The Buffalo thing and everything else. What is your sense as you talk to the people in Cincinnati about the way they approach this game, knowing the whole world has basically written them off?
Joe Burrow is looking at this graphic right now and said, all right, Greeny, that's what's up. Okay. All right, Dominique. All right, Tim Hasselbeck, got it. Because he said it. We're setting the standard. We don't care what anybody else thinks, and that's what you love about Joe Burrow, and you love the weapons that the Bengals have.
They beat the Chiefs just a couple weeks ago, so
right,
I understand them entering this game at a higher level of confidence. But we also watched the way that they protected Joe Burrow and how long he held him to the ball last week.
Can't do
and
that.
We watched what Patrick Mahomes did under pressure. He was wiggling out of every potential sack and making those into big plays. So, like, those things stick in our mind. And I know in a late game situation, Patrick Mahomes have had multiple playoff comebacks, Super Bowl comebacks. That's who I trust. I'm sorry, Joe. Maybe in a couple years,
you
but
know
it
what's
ain't that
funny,
time
though?
Yet.
I was told that the Chiefs were broken. I was told that the Chiefs were dead in the water. And now, all of a sudden,
they're
you
fixed.
Believe in the Chiefs. All of a sudden, Patrick Mahomes suddenly remembers how to play football. This is a team that felt like we hadn't hit our stride until midseason. And here they're trying to run over everybody.
I'll tell you right now, Hembo and I cooked it up. I'm going to have a stat for you coming up here that will prove to you Cincinnati has a good chance to win this weekend.
Love it.
That is coming up. And so is this. The one word that Tom Brady used to describe this past season that got everybody's attention, including his longest tenured teammate. Is it a signal that he's done? We're talking about it next. Plus, Hall of Fame or Hall of Shame? Did baseball get it right or wrong by keeping out Bonds and Clemens? We're talking about that, too. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meet nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We're back on Get Up. Busy week in the NFL. Kimberly Martin, let's run the hurry up. Coaching stuff. New Orleans needs one. Where are they looking?
New Orleans will start to look internally. Defensive coordinator Dennis Allen is presumed to be the favorite. He will interview for the job, but also keep an eye on a former Saints coach, Lions defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn. He used to be in New Orleans. He's now in Detroit, but he's expected to interview as well.
That's an interesting one. All right, how about the Giants?
Ooh, the Giants. The Giants are about to introduce their new GM, Joe Shane, but Brian Daboll, the Bills offensive coordinator, obviously is expected to be the favorite to land this position because of his ties with Joe Shane. He had a second interview with the Giants yesterday, first to have a second interview, but the Giants have a couple guys up next.
See if he could do with Daniel Jones what he did with Josh Allen.
Well, that'll
meanwhile,
be something.
How about those Las Vegas Raiders?
Yeah, so Todd Bowles, the defensive coordinator for the Bucs, the Raiders put in a request to interview him, although I've been hearing they are very high on Josh McDaniels, so we will see what happens in Vegas, but they are interviewing a lot of
people. Is Rich Bisaccia just not even in the mix? I think a lot of people fell in love with his approach.
We can all agree he deserved to keep the job.
Yeah.
Based on what transpired all season.
Us. Mark Davis doesn't seem
true.
To think so.
The most important person may not agree.
All right. We will see. We'll keep a close eye on all the coaching stuff. After a near comeback victory against the Rams on Sunday, Buccaneers quarterback Tom Brady indicated the following day family is going to play a substantial role in determining whether or not he'll return to play next season. And he also used a fascinating word as he talked about it on the podcast Let's Go with Jim Gray. Listen to this.
My wife is my biggest supporter. It pains her to see me get hit out there. And, you know, she deserves what she needs from me as a husband. And my kids deserve what they need from me as a dad. It's not always what I want. It's what we want as a family. And, you know, I'm going to spend a lot of time with them and, you know, figure out in the future what's next. I would say I'm proud and satisfied of everything we accomplished this year.
So that last word there, his use of the word satisfied, it immediately caught your attention. And before we talk about it, I want you to hear Gronk. So Rob Gronkowski, who is Brady's longest tenured teammate and his best friend in the whole world, was on ESPN Radio last night. And they asked him, have you ever heard Brady use the word satisfied? Here's what Gronk said.
I don't think I really heard him say that before either. He's just always working to get better. And that's what makes him so great, man. He's the ultimate competitor. There's no doubt about that. Always looking for ways to get better, too, which is incredible. But, you know, he's got to do what he's got to do.
So Gronk said he never heard him use that word before. He was on Freddie and Fitzsimmons last night on ESPN Radio. You immediately seized on that yesterday when we heard him say satisfied.
He wasn't speaking about his whole career, but I feel like after seasons where he's won the Super Bowl, he hasn't felt satisfied.
Right.
We've talked about this before, that often, Greeny, you come to me and ask me like for the athlete's perspective, and I can give you some athlete's perspective, but there's some dudes that I cannot climb into their brain and figure it out, and that's why they are so great. Those Jordan-level, Brady-level, kind of psychotic level of competition, and they find a way after six Super Bowls to still be like, I need another one. Like, I don't understand what's going on in that mind, but I do understand that I've never heard anyone who fits in that category use the word satisfied. So that would concern me if I were a Tampa fan.
So there's the satisfied of it all, and then there's the family of it all. And Tim, you come from a football family that's well documented and documented, and your brother Matt played into his 40s. So with that sort of as the background here, what is your perspective on the family part of all of this?
I've always thought it would be the determining factor. I've always thought it would be the reason why he decides to stop playing. You know, ultimately what happens is you play into your 40s, and as you're right, my brother did. Listen, part of what you do is you realize the sacrifice that the rest of your family makes in order for you to continue to chase what you're chasing. Like, it's not about just you at that point. I think anybody that's a parent knows that it changes. It changes from the time that you're single, then to the time that you're married, then to the time that you have kids, because there's other, you know, there's other factors at play. Like, just use my brother's example. He had a daughter that was going into high school. Like, there was an element of, okay, well, wait a second. She's also chasing something. She's an athlete on her own. Like, is it fair to the rest of the group to continue to do this, and when it maybe impacts everyone else? And so, I just think ultimately that ends up being what happens with Brady is his kids get older. As great as he is, he's not in control of his schedule. That's one of the things when you're an NFL player. The schedule is controlled by the league, not you. So as great as you are, you're still kind of at their mercy of how your calendar goes. And so ultimately, I think there comes a point where you get tired of that because you're missing so much with your kids and in their lives. And I think that's what ultimately will make Brady step away.
It's an interesting thing. Let me get Kimberly in here. I'm always fascinated by the way you read these relationship situations.
Yes. It is fascinating because listening to Brady, he sounded like, yeah, you know, my wife, she deserves, you know, I am satisfied. It didn't sound like somebody who was ready to walk away. It sounded like somebody who would have to choose to walk away because of external factors like the family. Like, I just can't see that Brady went to Tampa, won a Super Bowl, and then said, I'm gonna come back. Winning a Super Bowl would be the perfect time to walk away and say, I'm done. And this year, he didn't lose to the Rams because his body gave out or father time. Offensive line issues, injuries, the Antonio Brown implosion, Chris Godwin, not having Chris Godwin, knowing that it was just Mike Evans and Gronk out there against that Rams defense. That, to me, it feels like the Brady, that maniac, that competitor, that like you have to be selfish to be that sort of level competitor.
Why do you have this look on your face, Tommy?
I mean, we are a Disney company, so I do not want to ruin this beautiful family moment, but come on, guys. Like, Tom Brady has known for a long time the price that his family's paid for this. Tom Brady's not walking away, or at least in my view. I can't climb into his head.
I just can't imagine him walking away now.
The reason why he is walking away is not because he wants to spend more time with his family or they deserve something, because they've deserved that for a long time. Mm-hmm. It's because he's not spending enough time with future Hall of Fame and Pro Bowl receivers. Like, that's the difference.
The roster.
The whole reason why he went to Tampa was because he wasn't getting the help that he wanted. Now he saw this season what it's like out there without that help, and he's like, nah, I'm good. That's the difference. Nate, those are the relationships.
I sit next to you two mornings a week.
Okay.
Your phone rings at 7:15 every single morning.
Talk about it, Greeny.
Dad wants to know how school is, how breakfast was.
FaceTiming, everything.
That's your reality. It's his reality, too.
Michael Greenberg.
Yes.
I started this by making it clear that the way that my brain works and the way that most people in this world's brain works is different than Tom Brady. So I'm cool with this. Like when LeBron went back to Cleveland, yeah, it was all about going home, not about that's the best roster win a championship. Yes, we can continue this story. Tom Brady is walking away from football because he wants to spend more time with his family.
Okay, fair enough. We will get back
to
this as we continue. The man is a heart down in there somewhere. I guarantee I've seen it. All right, let's go to baseball where this happened yesterday. Congratulations, Big Poppy, David Ortiz. He's the only player elected to the Hall of Fame this year. He's the 58th player to be elected in his first year of eligibility. When I say that he's the only player, that is very significant this year. Great moment for him, obviously, in the Dominican Republic. That's Pedro Martinez, his longtime teammate, who was next to him. But these guys didn't get in, and now, at least through the traditional method, they won't get in. This was Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens and Curt Schilling and Sammy Sosa's last years on the ballot. And you see Bonds and Clemens got reasonably close, Schilling a little less close. Sammy Sosa was never anywhere near getting in. So, obviously, this gets the guys who don't get in get about as much attention as the guys who do. Here's Robert Stanberry, only the third. Let's just start with Big Poppy. He gets in. There was the tangential connection to performance-enhancing drugs with him. So does it seem incongruent? Some fans might look at it and say, he gets in on the first ballot. These guys don't get in at all. Does it make sense?
Yeah, of course. A lot of the rationale of the voters is like going through a logic pretzel and them trying to figure all this out. Clearly, some voters decided, well, there may have been a link, but I'm going to ignore that in a way that I didn't ignore links to other players. And I do wonder, as we move forward, Greeny, the fact that David got in despite that 2009 New York Times report, does that make it easier for his former teammate down the road, Manny Ramirez, to get in, for Alex Rodriguez to get in as well?
Well, so that's good to A-Rod. He got just 34% of the vote in what was his first year on the ballot. So he has the benefit of a lot of time in front of him. But that's a very low place from which
to start. What does that historically mean for a player like him?
Yeah, his voting percentage is basically identical to that of Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. And if he follows their trajectory, then he's not going to get in. But I do wonder, as some of the older voters drop off and the perspective begins to change and perhaps more accurately reflects the context of the times, if Alex will get more support. And keep in mind, Alex Rodriguez, as far as Major League Baseball is concerned, is a member of good standing. As far as the Hall of Fame is concerned, he's a member of good standing. It put Alex on the ballot in a way that it never put Pete Rose on the ballot.
Yeah, that's right. And then, and Buster, you and I and Hembo, and I've got Mad Dog Russo coming in today. We're going to do a long conversation about this on the radio today. But in condensed form, our friend Jeff Passan wrote a column yesterday saying, if Barry Bonds doesn't get in, it'll be a failure by the Hall of Fame. He didn't get in. Is it a failure?
It is a failure, no question about it. Look, the Hall of Fame is a wonderful museum, but the credibility of the plaque room is now affected forever. Because everybody in the industry knows there have already been PED users who've been honored at the Hall of Fame, and that is not reflected in the fact that you have the two greatest players who don't get voted in. And I'd say this too, it's shocking that you have a group of journalists, it's not all the writers, it's a third of the writers, who effectively allowed themselves to be deputized as retroactive morality police. It's time for the writers to stop making the news, and it said focus on just reporting it.
Okay, we will talk much more about this on the radio later today. Buster Olney, thank you very much. I'll see you later. Meanwhile, if you're looking for some tennis, tomorrow morning our Australian Open coverage will roll on with the women's semis, highlighted by the number one seed Ash Barty taking on Madison Keys. And then we got another good match there with Danielle Collins, another American in action as well. It all starts 3:30 a.m. Eastern on ESPN and on the ESPN app. Every point can also be seen on ESPN+. All right, as we continue, what if Aaron Rodgers retires? What is his legacy? Would the Packers still be kings of the North? Dominique will answer those questions and more. Plus, the 13 seconds that will haunt Buffalo for a lifetime. Did the Bills miss their best chance at winning the Super Bowl? Those answers on the way. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions from you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
All right. In honor of what might have been Aaron Rodgers' last appearance on McAfee yesterday, and boy, we hope it was not the case, we have an all Aaron Rodgers themed answer the question for Dominique today. Here we go. Three questions on Rodgers. The first, if Rodgers retired today, how many quarterbacks all time would you say were definitively greater than he was?
Definitively, I'd say one. It's Tom Brady. And I know that a lot of people disagree because Aaron only won one Super Bowl, but he had historic playoff moments. He was the MVP of the league multiple times. And also, like, he kind of changed our perception on quarterbacks. The amount of touchdowns to interception ratio that he had throughout his career, he was kind of at the early end of that. He was like the father to the Patrick Mahomes that we're seeing now. So I don't know, maybe Mahomes will be when he's done, but right now I put him up there in my memory with Montana and guys like that, even though he doesn't have as many Super Bowls.
And the way that he played the game, kind of the forefather of what Mahomes is doing now as well. Some of that physical stuff.
I said that.
Yeah, that he does. That's right. But, I mean, I think it's important to underline. It's
No, I absolutely agree. He's up there with those guys and Bradshaw, all those guys. I think Aaron Rodgers is right there next to him.
Terry's watching.
Shout out, Terry.
If you were Aaron Rodgers and you could handpick which team you played for next season, which would it be?
I'd say the Denver Broncos. I mean, I think that roster is as good a roster in the league. He wants to replicate, presumably, what Tom Brady did by going down to Tampa Bay, which had a ready-made roster, just add a quarterback and we're in. I think the Broncos are the same way. Loaded at receiver, super talented on defense, good offensive line. He'd go there, and it'd be tough in that division with Mahomes, but I think they are immediately Super Bowl contenders.
That's the piece of it. Everyone keeps saying, well, he doesn't want to be in there with Mahomes and Herbert. If you're Aaron Rodgers, I don't think you're scared of things like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think he has to understand that the path, as far as quarterback's concerned, in the NFC is a little bit better, but it doesn't matter. You're going to have to beat those guys at some point.
All right, one more. If Rodgers is not in the division, who's the favorite next year to win the NFC North?
I think I got to go with the Vikings. And they have talent, but I think it goes down to the best quarterback. And as Justin Fields might grow into something special, I think Kirk Cousins and Jefferson, that combination is a talented combination. They have talent on defense. They're getting better. They're going to bring in a new coach, and presumably that coach is going to improve them some. And I think that they have to be the favorites going forward.
Jefferson, Thielen, Dalvin Cook.
Loaded.
The cupboard is, that could be an interesting place. Now, once upon a time, Brett Favre wound up in Minnesota. Aaron Rodgers winding up in Minnesota would really be, have to stop with the Jets for a year. I'll take that too. In the meantime, let's talk about another team that lost this weekend. The Bills were on the wrong side of one of the best playoff games in NFL history, and their coach, Sean McDermott, and the rest of the team now has to move forward and deal with that brutal loss to the Chiefs and those 13 seconds that will never be forgotten.
I watched it on video, and I watched it over and over in my head a million times, and in my stomach a million more. Continue to watch it in my mind and in my gut. But when we get to where we're trying to get to, I believe that that'll make it that much more enjoyable in those in that moment.
You know, Kmart, I've always felt you have a soft spot for the Bills. You covered them as a columnist for a period of
where
time.
Where am I? Buffalo Blue. Yeah, no, I was up there. I know I've seen this team change and the organization change, and they built it the right way. But it's painful for them. And we talk about windows all the time.
Yeah.
Windows don't stay open. Yes, you have the quarterback. They are ahead of the game. Can you keep the coaching staff together? Doesn't seem so. Can you keep this roster together? We will see. Those are the things. Rosters change every year, so you have to take advantage of these moments. And Buffalo, unfortunately, it's painful for them right now. Mm-hmm. They couldn't pull this one out.
I spoke to Jim Kelly on the radio yesterday, who's been through more than his share of heartbreak in Buffalo, and this might have been as bad as it's gotten, certainly since the kick that didn't win the Super Bowl all those years ago. Tim, let me just come to you quickly, though, because I'm curious through a quarterback's eyes. I mean, how would you describe what Josh Allen has become? The way he played in this postseason feels like it was the culmination of something, and he's still only 25 years old. What are we seeing in Josh Allen?
I mean, I think we're seeing, you know, a superstar. He's already a superstar, and, you know, less than some hot take. You know, watching those quarterbacks, I mean, it's clear, and we all have seen it because of his resume. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is great. The truth is Josh Allen is just as good. I mean, Josh Allen, you know, probably, you know, he went on the road against that team with lesser talent around him, probably with not a coach as good as, you know, Patrick Mahomes has around him. And what he did was, you know, bring him back with 13 seconds left. Look, I think Josh Allen is as good as Patrick Mahomes. And what some of the things they ask him to do, run quarterback power and then all of a sudden complete a pass down the field, is really hard. Like, it just, there are not many guys being asked to do the things that they ask him to do.
Is that, I know I'm changing the topic here, but people are saying that's the Brady Manning of the – that's what we're hoping it becomes, right?
Those two guys, year after year?
I sure as hell hope so, because that is outstanding. He is the evolution of the modern quarterback. When we started seeing athletic quarterbacks come in the league and some of us got excited, we dreamed of a guy who was like this, who's built like Cam Newton and can throw like Patrick Mahomes and can do all of these things. Yeah, he is as good as anyone in this league, which is why they think that they're going to have a chance, I mean, until he's done playing. Yeah. However, this may have been their best chance, because this may have been, with the defense plan as well as it has, like, it's going to be hard to put all that together and have the right coaching staff going forward.
Look, he beat the best team remaining.
Yeah.
13, you throw a touchdown pass to take the lead with 13 seconds left. You're supposed to win. Yep. That's happened 62 times in the NFL the last 15 years. None of them lost. It was the first team to lose from that situation in the last 15 years.
And then we see the highlights, and he had so many, like, memorable plays in that game. Like, he had too many to even remember. Mm-hmm. I saw that pass, and I remember being shocked at how good that pass was at the moment. And I'd forgotten about it because he made, like, four other ones, and he ran through a cornerback and put him out of the game. Like, the man is something different. He's a different animal.
He is. He's special. In the meantime, what if I told you that an NBA team had a 35-point lead in the second quarter? Would you tell me that game was over? Think again, Dominique Foxworth. Bradley Beal and the Wizards hosting the Clippers. Second quarter, the home team up 26, and they're on cruise. Beal, three. Yes, they're up 29. They would lead by as many as 35. But wait, there's more. We fast forward. 10 seconds left in the game. Clippers are down just six. Again, 10 seconds. It's six. But Luke Kennard says, we're not done. From the logo, look at this range. Kennard throws it up and good. They're down just three. 115-112. 8 seconds left. Ensuing inbounds. Kyle Kuzma's got to get it in. Kyle Kuzma's got to get it in. Oh, my goodness. It's a five-second violation. So no time goes off the clock. And the Clippers get themselves another chance. So here we go. Kennard is going to flash. Kennard going to the line. Kennard is going to knock down the three and get fouled. With 2 seconds left, he ties the game at 115. They call that. So he goes to the line. 1.9 seconds in what is now a tie game. He would score 25 points. That's the 25th. He gives them the lead. Wizards' final chance. That's just awful. Unbelievable. They lose the game. The Clippers come from 35 down to win 116-115. Strangest game of the NBA season. See if anything strange happens tonight. We got a good doubleheader for you on ESPN. Knicks in Miami. Visiting the top team in the Eastern Conference. Then the NBA's best team, the Suns in Utah, to take on the Jazz. Good games. Coverage starts tonight with NBA Countdown at 7 Eastern. Coming up, Sean Payton's sudden resignation. Will his shadow loom all over one other team this year? The answer is yes, and we'll tell you why it matters next.